This morning, our reading out of the gospel and for the sermon comes to us from the Gospel of Matthew in chapter 1, verses 18 through 25. Now, this passage of scripture, it follows after that genealogy of Jesus that we read a couple of weeks ago. And it's kind of like the next steps, what happened, you know, after, you know, the heritage and the genealogy of Jesus was established. And this is kind of the rest of the story. So I invite you to hear these words starting at verse 18 of chapter 1 of Matthew's gospel. Now the birth of Jesus the Messiah took place in this way. When his mother Mary had been engaged to Joseph, but before they lived together, she was found to be with child from the Holy Spirit. Her husband Joseph, being a righteous man and willing to expose her to public disgrace, planned to dismiss her quietly. But just when he had resolved to do this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, "Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary as your wife, for the child conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will bear a son, and you are to name him Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins." All this took place to fulfill what had been spoken by the Lord through the prophet, "Look, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and they shall name him Emmanuel," which means God is with us. When Joseph awoke from sleep, he did as the angel of the Lord commanded him. He took her as his wife, but had no marital relations with her until she had borne a son, and he named him Jesus. The word of God for us, the people of God. Thanks be to God. Joseph in this situation strikes me as a man who is caught in between, you know, the customs and practices of his day, and yet the unfolding direction and unfolding life laid out before him. And what I mean by that right there is Joseph had to make a decision. He had to make a decision to live, you know, into what was happening in that calling of, you know, being the earthly father to the Messiah, or to fall back onto his customs of his cultural customs related to marriage and dismiss Mary quietly and follow that path. Now, for us in our lives, we have moments where we have to make difficult decisions. We have to make hard decisions. Sometimes those decisions are life-giving and they are enjoyable to make, but sometimes those decisions can be painful and difficult or stressful and take all of our energy. Sometimes those decisions, you know, we have to make, that we have to, that impact us deeply might be, you know, what crops we're going to plant or what we're going to do with our business, or we're going to take, you know, things in a new direction this coming year. Sometimes those decisions are, you know, like asking, you know, your future, you know, spouse to marry you. I mean, that's, I mean, it was a good decision. I'm glad I made the decision I made right there, but it was definitely a decision that I had to pray over and you know, confirm, is this the direction that God is leading me in? And there's other decisions related to relationships, to lives that weigh on us. And we try to make the best that we can of it, you know, the available information that we have, and hopefully we won't fall into that trap, you know, of, you know, hindsight being 20/20. I know there's, when I've had to make big decisions, you know, maybe it's, you know, buying a car or a vehicle, you know, certainly looking back, I would go, well, I would have done this differently, done that differently. But we could do that and go fall down that rabbit hole, so to speak, and it just takes all of our energy and it builds stress. But I believe when we look at this story of Joseph, it leads us in a direction and invites us to lean into our faith and our connection that we have with God. Part of the background with Joseph and Mary in this passage of scripture is grounded in the cultural and marital customs that existed in the time of Mary and Joseph. They are different, you know, certainly different than what we have today, you know, in our time and place. You know, for example, for engagement would have been as legally binding as marriage, as legally binding as we see marriage today. Once they were engaged, I mean, they were essentially considered to be one in that moment. Marriage also was not one that was grounded out of love. It was more of a transaction. You know, perhaps Joseph's father or Mary's father, they had gotten together, talked, and basically set up an arranged marriage. There may have been an exchange of some livestock or some crops in the middle of that also. Or maybe Joseph sought out Mary's father and they had talked. Mary would not have had a whole lot of say in the matter of this marriage. And in fact, and it pains me to say this because I don't view my marriage this way at all. You know, Mary was just kind of part of the property, part of the deal that was exchanged. And I mean, it's very different than how we see it. They did not see each other one day, Mary and Joseph, in the marketplace, and a spark happened and it was a romantic comedy bringing them together. It was, you know, far more elaborate, and it was far more grounded in almost business and farming than it was in love, as we see marriage today. You know, also, I mean, difference that we have today as well is when we get married, especially in Colorado, you do not have to have an officiant, you know, from like a do your wedding. You don't have to have a pastor officiate your wedding. Once you go to the clerk's office, you get your marriage license, it's essentially considered done right then, and you can have a prairie dog officiate your ceremony, for all we know. That's how the law is structured. It's different than, say, in Kansas, where whoever officiates is, you know, registered with the Secretary of State and the county clerk. And so we can see today our marriage customs are a bit different or structured a bit different than they were in the time of Mary and Joseph. So when you think about this engagement with Mary and Joseph, when Joseph had made the decision upon, you know, hearing that Mary was with child to dismiss her quietly, was an act of righteousness on the part of Joseph. Because those customs were so different and so lived out so differently than today, it would have been well within the right of Joseph to make a public spectacle of what had taken place. Joseph could have divorced Mary very publicly, and what that would have done most likely would have made it where Mary would not be married off. She would not, you know, have a husband. And because of, you know, how, you know, being married to a man in that time period was a way of finding security, of shelter, of food, the basic needs of life, Mary would not have those basic needs of life if she had not been married. And if Joseph had divorced her publicly, most likely Mary would have become a prostitute. She would have had to find a lit way to live on the streets and most likely would have died on the streets. It would not have been, you know, a righteous end at all for Mary. So Joseph making that decision to dismiss her quietly, not making a scene or a spectacle about it, was an act of righteousness. It was an act of caring for Mary. But when I think about the decisions that we have to make, when we have to make these hard decisions, perhaps decisions that may grind against, you know, our customs or our way of doing things, or they have a deep impact. The process that Joseph, you know, experienced, and I say word process and decision making not to make light of what is taking place here, but more or less describe what is happening. Joseph here had a dream. And in that dream, you know, the angel of the Lord spoke to Joseph and gave a different direction after the one he had made, a different direction. And as Joseph, you know, had that dream, had that experience, and woke up, he followed that dream. And why I believe this is so important for us when we have to make hard decisions is that Joseph was open to, you know, his God being at work in this process. He was open to the guidance the angel was given to him in that dream. And for us, when we have to make hard decisions, I don't know about you all, I know I will start to cave in on myself and not lean into people I care for advice or counsel. And sometimes I even forget to pray about or to consult God because I'm a broken person and I get stressed and anxious. But Joseph, in his righteousness, as life was unfolding before him, was open to the guidance of God, of caring for Mary, and eventually caring for the child that would be in his care, where he would be the earthly father to Jesus. I believe for us, when we are in our moments of stress and anxiety about decisions, of living into life as it comes our way, Joseph gives us that example of allowing his faith to take hold, allowing his faith to offer guidance, to give direction, to allow God be God in that moment, and to influence how he was living his life. For me, that's how I see the righteousness of Joseph being shared in Scripture. Certainly where he was trying to live into his customs of his day, I mean, certainly we could say he was trying to be righteous and the best as he could, but his true righteousness comes from following God, from following the events that were unfolding before him, so that we could have the Messiah and understand the Messiah the way that we do. I can't imagine how the gospel would have played out or been shared with us today had Joseph, you know, just dismissed Mary. I just can't imagine how it would be. But here we have Joseph leading, sharing, and living into a direction that God was sharing with him. So brothers and sisters, as we go through our lives, we face ourselves in these difficult moments where we have to make a decision, where we have to lean into, you know, all that we know. I believe we're called to lean into that relationship that we have with our God and to pray about those decisions, to pray about how we're living our life, how are we reacting or responding to life as it comes our way? How are we connecting with our faith as we're moving forward? Joseph gives that example for us. But for us today in 2019, I believe we are called to take that step of faith and lean into that relationship all the more as life comes our way. And as things happen in ways that we cannot imagine or ways we didn't even plan on happening. Certainly, the coming of Jesus into the household of Mary and Joseph was by no means something that they had planned on by any means. And when we hear a little more of Mary's story next week, we hear how that was unexpected, unplanned for her. But yet, our God was at work in those unexpected moments when it seemed like there were not good options to follow. Our God was at work. And for us today, I believe that's a reminder for us and guidance for us to lean in to our faith and to our God as life unfolds. So let us live into our faith, not only in this season of Advent, but for all of our lives. So we can follow God, we can experience the hope that God has for us and the life that God has for us as well. It's all too easy in our day and in our time to collapse in on ourselves and to only think of ourselves when making hard decisions and choices in life. But our God has a different way in mind for us. And I believe it's a way that is filled with hope. It is filled with our welfare in mind. And it's filled with the hope of Christ in mind. So let's live in that hope in all of our days. Amen.